whole lot better than it did the last time I talked to it. And so make sure you keep him in your prayers. I know he was telling me didn't do well with the whole patience thing. And most men don't do real well with that, because you want to get up and go and do what you want to do, and especially somebody like Brother Ricky, who's working a lot and doing all that kind of physical labor, it's probably really difficult on somebody like him, who's been used to being able to go and do what he's wanted to do all these years. So be praying for him in that situation, because it is a tough thing to go through something like that. My aunt is getting better. She's getting out a lot more. She's walking a lot more. So that whole part of her heart attack is kind of getting a little better. She's progressing pretty well now. So just be praying for her that she will continue to get better. We're going to start looking at the number three. It's kind of where we left off last week. The number one was unity. And does anybody remember what number two was we talked about last week? Division. Wow, somebody listen. Amen. Number three, number two is division. Number one is unity. Three completes things. I've heard the number three have different titles. Brother Dave Reese was my Bible school teacher. His notes are not inspired, but only the scriptures are inspired. Dr. Ruckman said, two and one is three. A division in unity, or a unity in division, is a Trinitarian formula making three. We know without a doubt that three is triune Trinity and is the makeup of the Godhead. My take, three is stability. Three is stability. A tricycle has three wheels, giving it stability. One is unity, two is division, and the third part adds stability. Marriage is never stable with only two parts. A husband and a wife without God leading it will go into a division. It's easier to get a divorce than it is to get married. So the Spirit of God adds the triune part, or the stabilizing factor. The Godhead has three parts. Two parts Spirit. John 4 and verse 24, the Bible says, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God the Father is a Spirit, and the third part of the Godhead is Spirit as well, the indwelling part of the Spirit. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4 and verse 30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 8 says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Two parts of the Godhead is Spirit, and one part is a physical being. John 1:1, most everybody knows these scriptures. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, if there is any doubt that this is God in the flesh, you can always go to John 1 and verse 14, and that clarifies it. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold His glory, the glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The incarnate Word is God in the flesh. So three is triune, and the one and only God is a tri-nature or trinity. Three is deity intact. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. I know I go to a lot of scriptures, but I just want you to hear what the Word of God has to say. So if you can't keep up with them, write them down, look at them later. But that's just the way I do it. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17 says, now the Lord Jesus Christ is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of God didn't have to indwell Christ. He is that Spirit. This is preached a lot, but understood very little. And it is preached a whole bunch, but most people don't really understand it a whole lot. John 14 and verse 9, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now, Philip didn't understand the triune nature of God here. It goes on to say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And in verse 10 it says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. It's not the third part of the Godhead that indwells the Lord Jesus Christ, but the first part of the Godhead. John 14:11, believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me. The greatest scripture evidence proof of the Godhead or deity of Christ is in 1 John 5 and verse 7. 1 John 5 and verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, I don't understand these people that get off that say that there's not three parts, because that's going around a lot lately. This is an energy drink. Hallelujah. Go ahead and try it. Try it. Unless you're going to have a heart attack, then don't try it. there's a new thing going around, and they've gotten away from the Trinity. They want to try to make different parts out of this thing, and they want to try to combine things and all this kind of stuff. And they have an argument, but it's not a very good argument, because it goes against Scripture. When you read things like 1 John 5:7, it kind of clarifies it, right? You realize that there's three in 1 John 5 and verse 7, so it's kind of difficult to get two with one and not just get three as total. And the way they say it is they almost say it like they believe there's a Trinity, but yet they have to tell you that there isn't one, even though they talk about all three of them. And it's very weird how they do it. So if you ever hear that come up, that is something new that is starting up, that people are kind of jumping on that bandwagon. The Bible says, there are three testaments in the Bible, the Old, the New, and the Third Testament is the Spirit that completes it. The Word of God is incomplete without the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit, there is no understanding. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrows, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's the living part? What's the powerful part? What's the piercing part? What's the dividing part? And what's the discerning part? Now, my grandfather, he died about the year I was born, he died. He was a hard man. Very hard human. He grew up in that age where, you know, it just was, they were different. They were built different. And he worked all his life. He smoked from the time he was like 12. And when he got old enough to really drink, he drank every single solitary day. He was not really what you would consider maybe an alcoholic, but in a sense, yes, he was an alcoholic, because he was one of those guys that just went to work at a factory all day and he printed paper, which I think is kind of funny because I print signs now. He looked at color all day. That's what he did. He had to match colors, make sure things were running right with the machines, and he would print paper all day long, and he was just one of those types of people that, you know, you took cigarette breaks. That's what everybody did back then. They all smoked cigarettes. So then he gets a little bit older, and of course he starts drinking a lot more. And so he would go to work, and he would come home, and he'd drink a six-pack. And that's what he did every single day. He wasn't mean. He didn't beat up anybody. He wouldn't just, you know, tear the family apart. It just was the way he relaxed. That was the way that he did it. And so he grew up that way, and he was that way most of his life. He was that way, very hard and just very different. But he never stopped my grandmother from taking my dad and his sister to church. He never did that. He'd say, if you want to go, go. I'm not. I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to enjoy my day off. I'm going to go fishing or do whatever it is I want to do. So she'd get the kids together, and she'd take Daddy, and she'd take Nick to the church down the road, and they would go to church, and he would sit at home or do whatever it was he wanted to do that day. So he wasn't a bad person. He didn't keep them from going to church, but he didn't understand the things of God. Now, my dad used to say that he would catch him every once in a while. He'd be reading the Bible. He'd be reading the Bible, and he could quote Scripture. My dad said he'd do something wrong, and his dad would quote some Scripture at him, and Dad, you don't even go to church. He said, that don't mean I don't know it. And he would go back and forth with that. But the thing with it was, there was no understanding really of the Word of God because he didn't know Jesus Christ. You see, without having a knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's hard to understand what the Word of God says. And that's the day and age that a lot of people live in now. There's a lot of people that have that form of godliness that but deny the power thereof. You see, what they're doing is they can sit there and quote a lot of Scripture. And they can tell you a lot of things in the Bible, but they don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. So they don't really understand what the Word of God says. That's a problem. That's a serious problem. That's the way my grandfather was. Now, my grandfather, he finally got saved. Hallelujah, amen. He got saved the night that my grandmother lay in state at the funeral home. And old hardcore preacher, you know, the ones that didn't care what you thought, came by and told him, he said, "Now you know you won't see Shirley again if you don't get right with God." That's right here at the funeral home. Now this is, he's crying. He's upset because his wife just died. And this preacher basically just says, "Hey, you won't never see Shirley again." And he knelt down right there by that casket and got saved, which I am thankful for. Because one day, I don't remember him, but one day I'm going to get to see him again, and I'm looking forward to it. So for something to be complete, it has to have a third part. God is triune, or a three-part God. Man is also three parts, body, soul, and spirit. That's the problem with an unsaved man. There's a part of him missing. He's a two-part man, therefore he is divided. He has a living body, a living soul, and a dead spirit. He is divided against himself. So it's evident that God completes things in threes. The Godhead is completed in three: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man is completed in three: body, soul, and spirit. Even the solar system is complete in three. There's alpha rays, beta rays, and gamma rays. The number three is evident an absolute trinity, triune, and represents stability. That's what the number three is. Number four, and I'm going to try, like I said, I'm trying to push through some of these numbers. Number four. Number four is one of those numbers that don't lend a lot of clarity. Now, last week I told you that you've got to kind of take this stuff with a grain of salt. You can make numbers mean different things if you want to. I believe there is certain numbers that do definitely mean certain things. But number four is one that doesn't have a lot of clarity to it. It's clear that one is unity, two is division, and three is triune or stability. But the number four is not as clear. There are several biblical numerologists, and not many agree on what the number four relates to in the Scripture. Clarence Larkin has a good take on the number four as anybody that I've actually looked at and studied. For those that I agree with the most lend to the number four having to do with the physical world or the earth. Using the law first mentioned, the first time that the word four shows up in the Bible is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads." This does lend to the notation that of the earth. The number four has a relative also. It's the fourth. You've heard that many times in the Word of God. Genesis 1 verse 19 is the first time it's mentioned, and it says, "In the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Now the first time we see the word fourth is in creation, as the creation of the world. Some would say that the number four is earthly, and that the four seasons is evident of that. But in Genesis chapter 8, there are six seasons, not four. That'll mess you up, won't it? Y'all ever read the Bible? You just kind of skim through it a little bit. Romans 8 and verse 22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter." That ain't four. I'm just saying, that ain't four. While that may be so, there is much about the number four that is earthly. In Revelation chapter 4, you have the four beasts. In Revelation 20, the nations are divided into four quarters. We know that the beasts and the nations are of creation. Just some other things to think about. There are four points of the compass: north, south, east, and west. There are four earthly elements: earth, air, fire, and water. The river that flowed out of the Garden of Eden was divided into four parts in Genesis 2:10-14. Ezekiel had a vision of the cherubim. They were four in number, each having four faces and four wings. And the first face was that of man, the second of a lion, the third of an ox, and the fourth of an eagle. All of these are earthly creatures. There were four great worldly powers revealed to the prophet Daniel: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. The four world judgments to come upon the nations are war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. That's in Matthew 24:6-7, and it's talking about the tribulation. There are four divisions of the human race, not four races: nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues. You can see four portraits of Christ in the four Gospels. God's four sore judgments upon Jerusalem are the sword, famine, noisome beast, and the pestilence. The brazen altar had four sides and four horns, and the New Jerusalem is four square. In Daniel 3:25, there are three thrown into the fire, but the fourth appears, is like the Son of God. The Son of God is the only physical part of the Godhead, bodily and earthly. Does all this mean that the number four is without a doubt earth or world? I personally wouldn't say that is true. There are still a lot of things that don't exactly line up, but there is definitely a leaning in that direction. Do you understand that? If you're going to look at something like numerology, you do have to understand if it don't really line up, it just doesn't really line up. So when somebody gets up and they preach, four is earthly. Okay, it's not that he's technically wrong, but you see, there's not a whole lot that can really just say definite that's what it is. So you have to let it be what it is. I don't try to give you something that I come up with that makes it just definite. If I don't completely feel confident that it's true, I'm going to leave it like that. I believe it does lean towards an earthly thing because it does have that appearance to it, but there is not enough evidence there to say that for sure. The number four might not have been so clear, but the number five is very clear. The number five, I believe, is definitely death. The death of Christ has a definite connotation with the number five. Has a definite connotation with the number five. I gotta learn how to type better. Jesus bore five wounds in his death on the cross: two in his hands, two in his feet, and one in his side. There were also five pieces of the Lord's garment: one that was gambled for, and four that was divided among them. Look at Genesis 5. Look at Genesis chapter 5. I hadn't made you look at anything yet, so look at this one. Genesis 5 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he," what does it say? "Died." Now in Genesis 5:5, you have the first death in the Bible. Now would anybody disagree with that? Because a lot of people would say that, what do you do with Abel? Didn't he die before Adam? Adam was killed though, right? That's different. You say, well, that's still a death. Nah, it's different. He didn't die on God's terms. We know that God knows everything. We know God knows what's going to happen, but that's a little different situation. He was killed by his brother. So you have a different little thing going on. Genesis 5 is sometimes referred to as the death chapter in the Old Testament. Notice again verse 5. "And he died." This phrase is used 8 times in chapter 5. In verse 5, 8, 10, 14, 17, 19, 27, and 31. If you don't believe me, look at them later. Okay? 5, 8, 10, 14, 17, 19, 27, and 31. Acts 5:5. The Bible says, "And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. You want to know what's kind of funny about Acts 5:5? Acts is also the fifth book in the New Testament. Just saying. Just things to think about. Mayday is the distress signal for a plane crash. May is the fifth month of the year. Coincidence, right? The SOS signal is put out on one frequency, 500 kilowatts, right? There you go. Number five is the number used for the breakdown of a ship. Under the law, every animal that was sacrificed on an altar 5 by 5. The altar represented death, and it was 5 cubits by 5 cubits. Now, we said that Genesis 5 is sometimes referred to as the death chapter in the Old Testament, and Romans chapter 5 is referred to as the death chapter in the New Testament. Now, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but if you want to go back and read it, read Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 21, and see what you think about that. I think you'll understand why they call it the death chapter. In 2 Samuel, 4 different times and 4 different men were killed. They were smitten under the fifth rib, the same place Eve was taken from. Eve was death for Adam. You can laugh there, it's okay. Eve was death for Adam. And you say, well, I'm really not. There's a lot of truth to that too. There's a whole lot of truth to that. You see in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And in verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we pick on that whole thing about Adam and Eve, right? We go back and forth with it. You know, the women messed it all up. No, God gave you a helpmate. She messed up. Yes, she ate the fruit, and we know that. We know that she was deceived. That's what the Word of God says. I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. It's in the Word of God. She was deceived. It was her. But guess what? Adam ate it too. How things could have been different if Adam hadn't said, okay, whatever you say, baby. Because ain't that how we do a lot of times, right? This ain't popular preaching right here, okay? This ain't popular preaching. But I'm leaving in a couple of months. I'm not going to be as popular as I used to be. Y'all need to hear some real good preaching right before I go. Okay? What ends up happening a lot of times is the wife says, let's go over here to church. And the man says, whatever you say, babe. And then you realize that they don't stand for anything. They do whatever they want to. They preach out of whatever they want to. They preach it however they want to. And guess what? Then it's in a mess, right? Guess whose fault it is? Because it ain't hers. It's yours. Who's going to stand before God one day and give an account for their family? That's me. Not her. That's me. I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account for what I did with my family. When I sit there and say, hey, Leslie, I'm going to go preach here, and I'm going to go do this here, and I'm going to go do this there. Guess what? She don't have to question that. God's going to sit there and say, were you faithful to Him? That's how it's going to work. You better stand up and start being a man. You say, well, she won't come. It don't matter. Does it mean you shouldn't go? Doesn't mean you shouldn't go somewhere, right? I ain't saying you can just drag her wherever you want to. Guess what? She's grown. You can drag them youngins, though. Now, most of us don't have them youngins anymore, but some of us still do, and we can drag them. I'm just saying. I told you, it's not popular preaching, but it is good preaching. Man is mortal. He has five fingers and five toes in most cases. And from birth begins the dying process. It's most evident five is the number of death. Now we would say that man is definitely that. We come into this world dying, right? We come into this world and it just starts the dying process. I've always thought it should be done the opposite way. You know, if I was God, I'd have done it completely differently. I would have been, you know, I would have died first and then got younger as it went. And then I would have just, it would have been over, you know. It would have been a whole lot better that way. That way you got all your aches and pains out and everything's just, you know, terrible and you got to go through work and all that stuff. By the time you get to high school, you're going to be ready to go. It's like, man, I feel great. I've always thought, you know, God, maybe you got that backwards. But, you know, he didn't ask me, so that is what it is. The number six, and I think we can get number six in there. I believe the number six can be defined in Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Verse 30. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Six is most definitely the number of man. There are 6 days in creation. Man being the crown jewel of God's creation. And the last thing created is mankind. Also, there was a difference in how man was created. In Genesis chapter 1, you will notice the phrase, "And God said 9 times, everything that God created, he spoke into existence except man." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now we know the obvious thing about the number six. The average man is 6 foot tall. You bury a man 6 feet deep. Man is created on the sixth day, and his appointed days of labor is six. Have you ever considered the Hebrew slave was to serve 6 years? You ever thought about any of that? For 6 years the land was to be sown, and to the rest the seventh. The kingdoms of the world are to last 6,000 years. Moses waited for 6 days on the mountain for God to reveal himself to him. And that's in Exodus 24:15-18. The children of Israel compassed the walls of Jericho 6 days, and the walls fell on the seventh. Six was man's part. The Lord completed it on the seventh. Where is that story found? Does anybody know? Joshua chapter 6. There you go. Write that down. You need to read it again, apparently. Joshua chapter 6. There were 6 steps to Solomon's throne. 1 Kings chapter 10. Solomon was all about the sight of man. And behold, all is vanity. It was 6 days after Jesus foretold of his coming glory before he took his disciples to the mount, where he was transfigured before them. In Matthew chapter 16 is where you find that story. And not to forget, man is numbered in Revelation 13 and verse 18. It says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. It is safe to say that 6 is the number of man. Would anybody disagree with that? You get 666 from that. That's going to be in the tribulational period, and you'll see that in the tribulational period if you do any Bible studies and things like that. So 6 is pretty definite that it's man. That's just how that it works out. Now, we don't really have time to go into 7. We know that 7 is the number of completion, but we'll get into that next week, and we'll go through that, and hopefully I can wrap most of that up next week. Does anybody have any questions about anything we talked about? I know it's a lot of numbers. No questions. Hey, man, I love it when people don't have questions. That way I don't have to come up with an answer, right? What's that?
Irony.
Irony. You need to watch him.
I out of all the people in the United States, I get the one that has 3666.
That's funny. I used to get cracked up. We had this when I worked at Sign Master before, back when I was like 14 years old. And you used to have to clock. My boss is all about technology. He loves everything new technology-wise. So now when you clock in, you type in a number, and it pops up in your clock, in your time clock. Well, back then, they came up with this new thing, and it would read your thumbprint. I remember. There was an old man. It never worked. No, it's like you'd rub it off or something like that. Your fingerprint would change. But they had that little thing, you'd scan your thumb or your finger or whatever on it, and you would go through your day, and you would clock it in, clock it out, and all that kind of stuff. But I remember there was an old man at Victory, Brother Brazil. I love Brother Brazil. He would get up, he'd sing in church, but, you know, he was 112 when I was a kid. And so he was an old man, but he did all the running for the church. You know, he'd go get the signs that they had printed for the church, or he'd go pay the checks, or he'd go do this and that. He was just the runner. He did whatever Victory needed him to do. And he used to crack me up because, man, he hated that finger thing. He thought that was just the mark of the beast right there. That's just, I was like, man, it's just a scanner. It just scans your finger. But talking about the 666 thing, man, I went out to eat with him one day, and something happened on the bill, and the last few digits of the number were 666. And you would have thought he was going to have to buy something extra just so that that number didn't pan out that way. And I was like, man, it's a number. It is a number. People get kind of hung up on that sometimes. And it is funny. And it's funny to see it and all that kind of stuff. But it is a number. You know, that 666 thing is not going to be relevant until you get into tribulation, right? Like, you do understand that. There's no significance to it. And I've been many times where you go to the store or something like that, and they'll pop up and it'll be 666. And I'll be, you want to buy something else? These people don't even know the Word of God. They ain't even read it. And they sit there and go, you know, you want to buy something else? It cracks me up how people go with that kind of stuff. But Brother Brazil reminds me of that every time. They're thinking about them little finger scanners and how that was the mark of the beast thing. And I was like, man, it's just scanning your fingerprint. So it cracks me up when people get into that stuff. Is there anything else?